We're in the teeth of draft season. This weekend is the most important weekend in the history of fantasy football drafts. You need info. Scott Pianowski, Dalton Daldon are here. 32 teams, nuggets, notes, targets. We're going to get to every team. Get you ready to draft. Coming up next. It's Wednesday, August 28th. I'm Scott Pianowski, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. Sitting in for Matt Harmon today, and it's a delightful day to talk football. Joining me is international man of mystery, my good friend Dalton Daldon. Dalton, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing well, Pianow. Good to talk some ball with you.
Yeah, and it's a really important time to talk ball with Dalton and myself. With many kids around the country who are just starting school this week for fantasy managers, this is really final exam week. And that's why in the pod this week, we're going to do everything we can to get you ready for your drafts in the beginning of the season. Welcome to Cram Week, all caps. This weekend's going to be the most important fantasy draft weekend, the history of time. Today, do everything we can to get you ready. We're going to share one important fantasy note, nugget, nuance, thing you need to know for all 32 NFL teams. We're going to work alphabetically. And Dalton, we got to get this all in an hour. So let's get going. Starting in alphabetical order, the Arizona Cardinals. Last year, 31st in points allowed. Defense was terrible. Now they get a healthy Kyler Murray. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. comes in with all the pedigree. Trey McBride extending talent. They even like the running backs. Could this be a Carnival team? Do we want to draft Cardinals?
Absolutely. It's been a team I've been targeting all summer. Love the coaching staff there. They were a top 10 offense over the second half of last year by EPA per play, and that was with Kyler Murray recovering from knee surgery and no Marvin Harrison. Trey McBride is my fantasy tight end one. I'm higher on James Conner than the market, my RB16, I believe. Kyler Murray is my QB5. I have him ranked ahead of Patrick Mahomes and CJ Stroud because of the running ability. So yeah, Marvin Harrison, the rookie, is going to be drafted higher than any rookie ever in the history of fantasy football. So I am in on the Cardinals.
It's about time you came up with some hot takes. Trey McBride, by the way, his ADP is a full two rounds later than Travis Kelce. It's later by a round and a half to two rounds to Sam Laporta. So you can actually get some value there as well. Atlanta Falcons, we've been dreaming about it all summer. The schedule, the number one schedule according to the projected win totals, if you sum them all up. Thank you, Warren Sharp. Mostly an indoor schedule. It sounds like they have adults in the room, a quarterback, an offensive coordinator. It's a giddy up time for the 24 Falcons.
Love the schedule. Love the players. Drake London, obviously Pitts and Bijan. I have them winning this division in part because of the schedule and how easy the division is. But I just want to note, P&L, that we are all excited about Zach Robinson, but he's really an unknown. We just know he's come from the McVay coaching tree. I mean, Raheem Morris is the head coach there. Preseason usage, not super encouraging. Hayden Winks has a tweet. Who's used the most motion this preseason? Falcons were second to last, just 15%. The last team was Washington with Kingsbury. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this offense. I think it's just we're just assuming it's going to be a great system. It's unclear to me. That said, I mean, Bijan, Drake, I'm drafting these guys, but it's just a little bit of an unknown.
I don't think Cousins played in the preseason. Does it worry you when teams don't do a dress rehearsal with their number one offense in the summer?
And of course, my stats might mean nothing and they might change all in the regular season. Great point. They didn't even play their QB1. So weird what they did with Penix, not playing him after the one game. Just bizarre there. But every situation's different with Cousins joining a new system and coming off an Achilles at his age. I would have liked to have seen him a little preseason action.
Me too. Talking about players changing teams. So Derrick Henry's on the Ravens now. You might have heard about that. This infrastructure got 13 touchdowns from Gus Edwards last year. This is an SAT question. 13 touchdowns for Edwards. How many touchdowns for Derrick Henry?
Yeah, he's a favorite to lead the NFL, even at this stage of his career. You look at the splits, shotgun, when his team is favored throughout his career, it all bodes well for joining Baltimore. Lamar Jackson should open the running lanes. Gus Edwards had so many goal line carries last year. Henry, yeah, he's a favorite. He should score 15-plus rushing touchdowns, health permitting, with upside for 20-plus. I mean, this guy was built different. His workload was not heavy in the beginning of his NFL career. I'm still buying, but I do, again, there are risks at this stage of someone's career, and just everyone's so in and expecting him to score a million touchdowns. You know, I'm one of them, though.
I am too. Let's say 17 touchdowns just to give you a number. It's a very interesting season with so many veteran running backs changing teams. Some of them I'm bullish on, some of them I'm not. I am going to take Derrick Henry. And even though the offensive line has questions, the mobility of Jackson opens up running lanes, and they don't give Jackson the chippies at the goal line either. It all points to Derrick Henry scoring a slew of touchdowns in 2024. Buffalo. What's going on in Buffalo? Josh Allen consensus number one quarterback, but who's he going to throw the ball to? Khalil Shakir, the only receiver who's caught a game pass from Allen. Curtis Samuel, a little bit dinged up. Looks like Keon Coleman might be a slow on board. You can still get Shakir outside the top 50 in Yahoo drafts. Has he been a screaming value all summer?
I won't fault you for drafting Shakir, especially PPR, but none of these Buffalo receivers have been targets of mine. Originally, I was in on Curtis Samuel, but it does appear this is going to be a full-blown rotation. Coleman's going to be running a lot of wind sprints. Dalton Kincaid is my target here, the tight end, and even he is going to have to deal with Dawson Knox, and the splits there are a little concerning. So this offense is, you want Josh Allen, he's going to produce all the touchdowns. After Brady took over play calling the second half, Allen's rushing increased. Cook and the rookie Ray Davis in the backfield. To me, Buffalo receivers, they better come at a discount. And admittedly, Shakir does in most leagues.
If you are targeting Dalton Kincaid, he's right now tight end 6 in Yahoo drafts, right inside pick 60. So you can still get a premium tight end with a little bit of a cheaper price. I think it makes a lot of sense, although I do like Shakir as well. So the Carolina Panthers, Dave Canales takes over. And this is a miracle guy. 2 years ago, career year Geno Smith. Last year, career year Baker Mayfield. Can he fix Bryce Young? Not so much that we want to draft Bryce Young, but we might want Chuba Hubbard or Jonathan Brooks, Deontay Johnson. Is there another Canales miracle coming at us?
It's entirely possible. Bryce Young is just too small to make this work, but I am buying into Canales making this offense functionable for fantasy. I'm in on Deontay Johnson. I have him ranked higher than consensus. Really good receiver, adequate at constantly getting open, and I believe Bryce Young will be able to get him the football. He made Adam Thielen a top five fantasy wideout for multiple weeks last year, although also Andy Dalton helped there. So I'm buying the Canales. He's just been a quarterback guru. Give me Deontay Johnson. Give me Jonathan Brooks as an absolute stash. I love there. I know we want to win early, and you preach that, P&L, but man, winning in the fantasy playoffs is huge as well. And Jonathan Brooks, I expect to be the total bell cow on a Carolina team that wants to run the football over the second half. So I'm proactively grabbing him. And I know it's frustrating because it just came out and said he's going to start season, you know, on the pup list. But to me, patience will be rewarded with Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, if you're a play for today guy, you got some chestnuts this week because Chuba Hubbard's going to be one of those guys. Maybe Jerome Ford in Cleveland with Nick Chubb going on the pup list. T.J. Hockenson also headed to that pup list, but there's no tight end winner that I can see in Minnesota. Let's get the Chicago Bears. And look, I know you probably want to talk about Caleb Williams or this receiver core, but I got to ask about Cole Kmet. Last two seasons, tight end 7, tight end 8. But is he undraftable this year? Crowded receiver room. They've added tight end competition. I'm afraid Cole Kmet, he went really cheaply in some of my recent drafts, and I was afraid to pull the trigger. Am I missing an opportunity, or am I following a good process?
No, I'm staying away from Kmet. Not just the loaded three wide receivers in Chicago, but Gerald Everett has been splitting work throughout the preseason, and if that usage carries over into the regular season, Kmet is a tight end to avoid. To me, after the top 12, tight end just gets a total crapshoot. That's why I would target Taysom Hill there, but Kmet is a stay away for me. Caleb Williams, can't wait to see him in regular season action. Looks like he's going to be a fun player. But Chicago is a situation where they're going to have to overcome a coaching situation there. I think, especially preseason usage too, you look at motion and pace, some concerning stuff there. But I do believe Caleb Williams and the receivers there can overcome it.
Let me ask you this. Let's assume that DJ Moore is off the board and you're targeting a Chicago receiver between the rookie Adunze and Keenan Allen changing teams. Who looks more interesting to you?
So I moved Adunze over Keenan Allen recently. In part, I'm going to blame Matt Harmon if that doesn't work out well. I will note that they've not used a lot of three wide receiver sets in the preseason, and it could be the same Shane Waldron issue with JSN last year, the same OC in Seattle, and Adunze is not getting the route participation we hope for here. So reluctantly, I'm betting on the talent in Allen at this stage of his career, so I'm betting on Adunze, but that one could go poorly, I admit.
The words of Dalton Daldon, who's joining us today on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. I'm Scott Pianowski sitting in for Matt Harmon. We're bouncing around to all 32 teams, giving stuff you need to know before this critical draft week. Dalton, Cincinnati Bengals, we've been talking all summer. Is it Zach Moss? Is it Chase Brown? To what degree is it a committee? And I feel like Brown is really polarizing, right? He recorded the fastest ball carrier speed at any point last year, but he finished dead last in rushing success rate. These metrics are in conflict. How are you playing this Bengals backfield? And specifically, how are you playing Chase Brown?
I'm so boring. I have Moss and Brown ranked back to back. I do have Moss higher, you know, me, the younger, the upside. But the tape suggests he may not be what a lot of fantasy managers hope. I think this is going to be a committee. Moss probably is the favorite for the goal line work. So, you know, those running backs in the rounds 7, 8, 9, if Brown falls, if Moss falls, every draft's a little different, but boy, that's where you should be targeting running backs. Brian Robinson's of the world, Jonathan Brooks, so many of those options, and Chase Brown, I'm fine with as well. I mean, there's upside here. He'll have spike weeks in this offense, Bengals offense, if healthy. I mean, there's certainly fantasy upside here, and Zach Moss wore down badly. Yes, he looked good in brief stretches last year in Indy, but if he turns into Zach Moss of old or if he gets injured, yeah, Brown looking at the majority of touches in the Bengals backfield, even if he's not the most, or even if he's an inefficient runner, there's still fantasy potential.
I'll throw in a bonus question on the Bengals. We know Jamar Chase has been sitting out. He recently ended his hold and showed up with the team. Doesn't sound like a contract's going to get done. T. Higgins is in a prove it year. How are you feeling about this receiver room at the moment? Joe Burrow's had trouble staying healthy.
I've been taking Jefferson over Chase, reluctantly, because there's a big question mark quarterback there. But Burrow enters with the injury concern, and now Higgins is more competition. Good to see Chase back in the practice field. We're nitpicking there, though. I mean, I have Chase as a top 8 fantasy player, and they could run more. Their pass rate could increase without Mixon. In the past couple of years, whenever Mixon's been off the field, it's really increased. So you could certainly see, wow, if they're healthy, Chase has the range of outcomes to finish as the number one fantasy wideout, to be sure.
So the Cleveland Browns, we know they have a great defense, but what exactly do they have on offense with Deshaun Watson? His last good season was 4 years ago. Last year, for crying out loud, they looked better with Joe Flacco. It didn't keep Amari Cooper down, and then we saw Njoku had a breakout year. It was mostly with non-Watson quarterbacks. Has Deshaun Watson lost his swagger for good, and does it make you afraid to buy into this offense?
I mean, Watson was the best player in the league at one point, getting a crazy 8.9 YPA without DeAndre Hopkins and horrible coaching in Houston, and he could run for fantasy. But man, it's been too many years, and he's dealing with arm issues this preseason. I'm in a super flex draft, and I took Geno Smith over him recently. There's clearly more upside with Watson with his rushing ability. And I really want to, I like Amari Cooper. I don't think Judy and Moore are competition for targets. And you look at his splits last year, yes, with Flacco, but also with Watson. When you got those other quarterbacks came in Cleveland, really muddied the waters. But with Watson and Flacco, Cooper was a top 15 fantasy wideout. I like Njoku. We'll talk about Ferguson later, but I've moved Njoku up my rankings even though he had the dramatic splits with Flacco. He just looks like a star at the position. So I need Watson to be functional for Njoku and Cooper to pay the fantasy bills. And another thing to note here, P&L, is last I read before we started recording is that DTR has been made the roster and Cleveland is looking to trade Jameis Winston. I don't like that. I liked Winston as insurance because it just throw the ball like crazy if I have Cooper and Njoku. I don't want DTR as the quarterback if Watson goes down yet again.
Oh, man. I would love to see Jameis Winston in this offense. Remember that 30-for-30 season he had with Tampa Bay? I think it was 36 touchdowns, 30 picks. He ends the season on a pick six. Wouldn't it be fun to have Cleveland be a carnival offense? And Amari Cooper has been one of my favorite boring veteran targets. He'll return his value. I'm not worried about that with some room for profit. You tease Jake Ferguson. Let's get into it with the Dallas Cowboys, producer Colin's favorite team. So Jake Ferguson leads the tight end position in red zone targets last year, which is great. He only scored 5 touchdowns, though. Could positive regression hit? Is there any more room to climb for Jake Ferguson at a tight end position that I don't think is deep past the top 10?
Positive regression could hit for touchdowns if that red zone usage stays the same. And it could. They lack a wide receiver too. Brandon Cooks is hurt. Who knows? Jalen Tolbert, the thinnest running back room in football. Tony Pollard, you know, had the second most red zone touches in the league last year, and those are vacated. That said, I moved Ferguson goes ahead of Njoku in most drafts, but I moved Njoku, who I just think is such a better player. You look at Ferguson, he doesn't earn targets, not good yards per route run. So I just worry the player could just, you know, Schoonmaker could suddenly get more reps. I'm betting on the talent more than the situation, but I certainly acknowledge that Ferguson could score double-digit touchdowns this year and wouldn't surprise me one bit.
I think I like Ferguson more than you do. Let's also hit in this backfield super quick. Zeke Elliott's in town. Rico Dowdle, interesting player on part-time opportunity. How are you playing the Dallas backfield?
Complete stay away for me. I have them both outside top 40. I would take Dowdle if given the choice, but man, his broken tackle numbers are concerning. I don't think he's a good player. Dalvin Cook may sign and actually threaten the touches here. That's how tenuous I think the whole Dowdle would have. So I think it's going to be a complete mess and probably the backfield to avoid the most on my fantasy board.
Let's close up our first section with the Denver Broncos. They have the new quarterback and Nicks. And, you know, he makes me curious about this receiver room, Bo Nix. I saw him play breakout last year after spending the early part of his career with Auburn. Cortland Sutton scored 10 touchdowns on 59 catches, unsustainable rate. But what if the opportunity goes up? What if Bo Nix is good? I've been scooping up Cortland Sutton as my wide receiver 4. Is that a good move?
I'm on board here. There's no one else there. Troutman's scheduled to start at tight end. Yes, Dulcich will get some run. But Tim Patrick, Josh Reynolds, people are interested in Marvin Mims. Sutton's a clear number one there. No Judy. The touchdowns to catch ratio will regress, but Bo Nix could be an upgrade immediately, even as a rookie, over the quarterback production Denver got last year. So yeah, I'm on board with Cortland Sutton. And who's rising most on my draft board throughout summer has been Javonte Williams as well.
I'm glad you pointed that out. You're always interested in a Sean Payton offense. They couldn't seem to run the ball for touchdowns last year, but I think a lot of things are going to be better this year. I think Denver, they have a low win total. I think they could easily be like a 7-8-9 win team. I think they're a team on the rise. I think they got their right quarterback, and I want you to draft Cortland Sutton. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, the Detroit Lions, are they fantasy football's best offense? Let's talk about next. All right, we're back. The Detroit Lions, man, so close to beating your San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, the second half counts too. Mostly things we know. I mean, Sun God, we know. The backfield, we know. Jared Goff, we know. The offensive line is static too. But who is Jameson Williams? He played between 50 to 72% of the snaps last year after week 10 when healthy. 78 targets have been departed via Josh Reynolds. He's now the clear wide receiver too. If he can handle it, Dalton, you buy in Jameson Williams?
I'm pretty neutral on Jameson Williams. I mean, I like the upside of a guy that fast and indoors in this offense. But on the other hand, he's really their fifth option behind Montgomery, Gibbs, St. Brown, and Laporta. Certainly a flyer to take upside for your bench. One thing to note on the Lions is they just maybe start him at home. Jared Goff has averaged 277 yards, 7.9 YPA, 44 touchdowns over 17 games in Detroit over the last 2 years. It's the Coors Field of football. So just something to note when you're deciding if you have Goff in a league in which you can play matchups with quarterback, and Jameson Williams is probably more likely to do well in Detroit. Sam Laporta caught all but one of his touchdowns last year in Detroit.
I'm glad we have a Coors Field in the NFL, because sometimes I wonder if we have a Coors Field in baseball anymore because the Rockies are so lousy. But let me ask you really quick, which back at the end of draft season you're going to have more shares of, Gibbs or Montgomery?
Oh, probably Montgomery, just because of the ADP there. Yeah, I like Montgomery's a total fine guy to remain, scoring the favorite to get the work inside the red zone of an offense that's going to score a lot of points. I think they're projected to score the second most points in football this year.
Yeah, boring as heck, but a veteran you can hang your hat on. A lot of touchdown equity with Montgomery. I think his ADP makes a lot of sense. The Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love broke out last year. We like Matt LaFleur, but who is the receiver to get? Nobody got 100 targets last year. Injuries played in. There's a bunch of mouths to feed. There's breakout candidates. There's something for everybody. I don't know the right answer, though. What Green Bay Packer receiver has your eye?
Dontavian Wicks. Because he actually could be the best one, and he goes the latest. I like all these guys. I mean, Watson, there's upside. Jaden Reed is a really good player. People give me a hard time because I put him on an avoid list. Love the player, just hate the ADP and the competition in Green Bay, and they really had to manufacture a lot of his targets last year. That was without Watson. And Romeo Doubs is the guy who may be the favorite to lead the team in targets, and no one, you know, he has the lowest fantasy upside. So, give me Wicks much later in drafts. You look at the nerd stats, yards per route run, earning first downs last year, little things. He looks like a possible future superstar if given an opportunity.
So Josh Jacobs changed teams, another running back who might be on the back nine. Let's play green light, yellow light, red light. What is your stance on Jacobs?
Yellow, love the opportunity coming off a really concerning season. Historically, Green Bay likes to share touches in their backfield. Man, with A.J. Dillon and Marshawn Lloyd, I believe, starting the year on the PUP list. A.J. Dillon, a concerning injury. Emmanuel Wilson, no one will ever, here's the deepest sleeper you'll hear, but Emmanuel Wilson, I'm going to write later this week. He's a deep fantasy sleeper in the Green Bay backfield. I mean, if Josh Jacobs got injured tomorrow, he might be their starter. So, yes, Jacobs looks like he's the last man standing entering the year. He could score double-digit touchdowns in that offense, but it's a yellow. I'm not proactively targeting him where he's going in drafts.
I will also mention that Jordan Love will probably be one of the two or three quarterbacks I draft the most on my many teams. We'll get to another one in a little bit. Houston Texans wide receiver room gets Stephon Diggs. He's 31. Nico Collins, 25. Tank Dell, 25. Those are seasonal ages. Do we care? Does it matter? Steph Diggs changing teams? That tends to make me a little bit nervous. Break this down for me.
I don't have a strong take here. I've been saying Dell over Diggs previously this summer, but if you're in a full PPR league, I feel like Diggs is the safer choice. Obviously, Collins is their wide receiver one, but Diggs and Dell I have as borderline top 25 guys also. This running back room could become a real problem if Joe Mixon suffers an injury. I expect all three to eat in an offense. It's just going to have a much higher pass rate over expectation this season. Stroud could win MVP. Draft all Diggs, Collins, and Dell.
Another old running back changing teams. Is there anything left with Joe Mixon?
Another just boring guy looking at the volume. Not a proactive target for me, but there's Damian Pierce struggled in the preseason. Cam Akers might be the new favorite to be the RB2 in Houston. So Mixon's just basically went from the same situation as Cincinnati. He's not going to be efficient. He's not going to rack up long scores, but he's in such a good offense. You got to treat him as a borderline top 15 fantasy back.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to have 3.8 yards per carry, like 43 catches. He's going to score 11 times, and people are going to be screaming out he's not that good, but it doesn't matter because of the surroundings. Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Richardson, America's sweetheart. I've seen him go number one overall in some super flex leagues. I know at one point he was your number one quarterback. I'm not sure if that has lasted all summer. I just want to throw this stat out, and then you can talk. Since high school, Anthony Richardson in competitive football games has thrown 411 passes. He does not have a lot of experience. This is still to some degree a prospect. How are you feeling about A-Rich?
Yeah, I mean, there's reports of that he might get benched for Flacco recently in the last week, or someone was speculating that that's a possibility. Richardson's a huge unknown, as you mentioned, the lack of experience. And last year, I'm hoping that he gains experience, at least in the playbook. You know, it's not, yes, he didn't throw many passes, but this is still his second year here. And I really trust Steichen and all those RPOs. I have him currently as my QB1. I may move my QB3 for game theory into Fantasy Pros, because the way I look at it, I'm still telling everyone to draft Richardson, and he goes later in almost every league, rounds later than Allen and Hurts. But also, I think Richardson could easily finish as the most fantasy points per game. And if he misses two games, then I'll get punished in that ranking system because Allen and Hurts are more likely to play. And frankly, you want the guy that's going to be the best scorer when he's on your team. So that's my feelings with Richardson. I get it's a huge risk given his lack of sample here. But man, the best fantasy points per dropback last year since Lamar Jackson's historic season. What if A.D. Mitchell is a star also to join Pittman and Downs and athletic tight ends, Jonathan Taylor, top five offensive line, Steichen just producing there. And even if Anthony Richardson completely flops as a passer, which I don't think he'll completely flop at all, he's a threat to rush for 15 touchdowns. So I love his floor along with his ceiling. So I remain in on AR, but I acknowledge that, yeah, there's plenty of risk here given his just utter lack of experience.
So we love Shane Steichen. I'm just curious, what other member of the Colts do you think you'll be most likely to be overweight on?
Mitchell, because he's going later, and he's going rounds 9, 10, 11, and he could emerge. Michael Pittman says he's learning route running from him. I love Josh Downs, but just a really long injury history there, and now entering the year, coming off a high ankle sprain. So Mitchell, who would have gone much higher in the NFL draft if not for off-field issues, he's been making some highlight plays in the preseason. So give me A.D. Mitchell.
So from the big new thing, the freshest thing at quarterback, to the guy who used to be that person, Trevor Lawrence, former number one overall pick. He had to play a year with Urban Meyer. It feels like at times he's a disappointment, but maybe not for fantasy. Quarterback 7, quarterback 12 the last 2 years, kind of a sneaky runner. He's going to run for 300-400 yards, 4 to 5 touchdowns. I think this is a sneaky destination offense, Dalton. What say you?
I'm good with drafting Trevor Lawrence this year. I feel like there's a big tier in quarterbacks from quarterback 14, starting with Tua, all the way to about 22, where I have Deshaun Watson. And I have Lawrence as my QB 15 because he's younger and he can run, a little unlike the Staffords and Cousins of the world. So I think Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator, remains a problem. But Brian Thomas could easily replace what Calvin Ridley gave them last year. Don't love Gabe Davis to do much. But they have some weapons there. And Lawrence is still has the tools. You know, he certainly makes the plays. You'd expect him to be a little better at this stage of his career. But I'm fine with treating him as like the QB 15 in fantasy. But it's loaded otherwise. I mean, it's tough for him to get much higher because there's so many dual threat quarterbacks. And I just think the top 12, 13 is just absolutely loaded right now in fantasy QBs. It's the deepest I've ever seen it.
It sure is. We're almost halfway through our Cliff Notes. 32 teams, 32 notes, nuggets, stats you need to know. Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, Dalton, even though it was one of the weakest Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes offenses. But look at the final couple of months. The last 10 games for Rashee Rice, 69 catches, 822 yards, 4 touchdowns. And Isaiah Pacheco's last 8 games, and both of these runs include the playoffs, 8 touchdowns and 31 catches, his final 8 games. I'm drafting Rice. I'm not worried about the suspension being long. If it even happens this year, maybe it won't happen at all. And Pacheco, I think, is clearly a bell cow back on an offense we're excited about. Are you as excited about Rice and Pacheco as I am?
Yeah, Pacheco, we just need to see if he can hold up. Never last year, 205 carries, the most of his career, never eclipsed more than 170 dating back to college. But if he can, Chiefs offense without McKinnon getting the targets, absolutely upside to finish as the top 3 fantasy back. Rashee Rice is going as the, in Yahoo leagues, he's the pick 86. In other full PPR drafts, he's the ADP right over the last week of the 36 overall. So very difference here among sites you're drafting for Rice. Apparently, some communities are not concerned about any suspension. No Marquise Brown injured. I love Worthy, but Travis Kelce at his age. So I moved Rice right now to my wide receiver 22. His ECR appears to be around 30. So I'm higher on him than the expert consensus ranks and willing to draft him early.
Yeah, the market's catching up, but it's still behind on Rashee Rice, and one of my most drafted players. And I think you should add yourself to that list. Las Vegas Raiders, I'm worried, man. Gardner Minshew, I guess he won the quarterback job in the summer. 48.5 completion percentage. I watched that game against Dallas. Second string defenders, vanilla defenses. And Minshew looked like he'd never played quarterback before. Dalton, do you have the stomach to draft Davante Adams, or are you just worried about the Raiders in general?
No, Adam. Yes, I'm worried about the Raiders. I think Samir White is the classic RB dead zone back to avoid this year. Madison was splitting work with him in the preseason basically equally. Adams, you worry about the stage of his career, the age, the quarterback, and they added Brock Bowers as competition too. I believe Bowers got the most yards per route run in the NFL in the preseason. He's dealing with an injury, as well as Adams, who had to sit out the last preseason game. Jacoby Myers matched top 12 fantasy performances, weekly fantasy performances, as Adams last year. So there are plenty of concerns from him. I hope I'm wrong. Watching him on that receiver show on Netflix, it's easy to root for Adams. He's a baller, and I hope I'm wrong. But the quarterback situation for me is a stay away, especially, you know, if he's going mid-second round.
He's going to be throwing his helmet this year, Davante Adams. And I wonder, we've seen with the trade deadline pushback in recent seasons that trades actually happen. Sometimes the NFL, it used to be they never did, nothing of consequence anyway. I think Adams is going to be involved in those discussions come October. Another passing game, I can't figure out the LA Chargers. So Ladd McConkey, people are thinking maybe he's their number one. Let's look at some preseason stats. 60% from producer Colin, 60% slot rate. He did run 100% of the snaps in 11 personnel with the first team, but 0% of the snaps when they went to 12% personnel. Is McConkey the right guy here? Is Palmer the right guy here? Is nobody the right guy here? I don't even know what to do with their backfield. The Chargers are a mess to me. Talk to me, McConkey. Talk to me, LAC.
I'm really in on Josh Palmer this year. Yes, their pass rate will be down, but I think they'll be much more efficient. Quentin Johnston might be the worst receiver in the league. Yes, people like McConkey, but he was not a target earner in college, and he was always banged up. Palmer, meanwhile, has really interesting splits without Mike Williams on the field, and now Keenan Allen is also gone. So Palmer struggled as a rookie, but he's shown improvement since. I think he's going to emerge as a clear number one in LA. He usually goes later than McConkey in fantasy drafts. So Josh Palmer is actually one of my 5 favorite sleepers in fantasy football this year.
Who do you like in the backfield, if anybody?
Oh, man. Kimani Vidal, if you can get him really late. Dobbins, it just depends on what. No one's been a target of mine. I think Edwards, Dobbins, and eventually Vidal will all kind of form a committee. It will be run heavy. I think the Chargers are going to sneak into the playoffs and win a wild card spot here. But Josh Palmer's the only guy I'm interested in fantasy.
I hate saying this. I think the passing game is going to be efficient, but I don't think Justin Herbert is draftable. I think there's going to be a lot of that 21 for 26, 219 and a touchdown. You know, I can't go near it with that receiver room. And we know how Harbaugh and Roman, how they like to play. And it's going to be a lot of 19-16 football. It's going to be ugly for fantasy. The LA Rams, they should not be ugly for fantasy. Sean McVay's there. A lot of players we want to draft. And maybe Cooper Kupp is one of them. Our Yahoo colleague Salvici was tweeting about Coop or Kupp, if you will. Maybe he calls him Coop, saying that he averaged 8.5 targets and he was a top 20 receiver last year when he played. And the crazy part is he did all this battling hamstring and ankle injuries. Now Cooper Kupp is healthy. Maybe Puka Nacua isn't. What is the state of the Cooper Kupp address?
Yeah, I've been hyping Cooper Kupp all offseason. I have him as my wide receiver 9, one spot ahead of Puka Nacua. Even Nacua ran more routes last season than he did all of college. He is an injury concern for me. Obviously, Kupp could go poorly. He's battled injuries. He's wrong side of 30. But I'm ignoring his metrics last year. He was playing on one leg. He says he's fully healthy now. The offense is going to run through him. McVay produces the most fantasy points for his wide receivers of any team in the league. So give me Kupp. He was the best fantasy receiver for back-to-back years before this blip here. So if he is healthy, which I'm going to trust he is, I'm drafting him early and aggressively in PPR leagues. I do acknowledge that normally I'm after players at different stages in their career, but I'm making an exception for Kupp here.
So I have to assume with that strong of a Kupp endorsement, you can't endorse Nacua at his current ADP.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm taking Kupp over him, then yeah, I guess that's the way. He's fine if you want him in the mid-second. What he did as a rookie is awesome, and he's in a great system. I just slightly prefer Kupp this year.
It's also for me, when a player comes out of nowhere, I know Nacua was hurt a lot in college, which is why he was drafted so late, but when a guy comes absolutely out of nowhere and produces like that, sometimes I'm just nervous to pay the raised price in the following season. Let's get to Miami, a fun offense, a couple of fun receivers, play Carl we trust. Who is Tua Tagovailoa these days? I mean, last year he leads the league in passing yards. He's still just a quarterback 8 to quarterback 10, depending on your scoring system. We know they had a very heavy touchdown rate in their backfield. Is Tua somebody we want for fantasy? How are you feeling about this passing game?
Well, Tua was actually the QB 19 in fantasy points per game. Like, if you actually did it by actually how much he helped you, it's even more dramatic how crazy that is, leading the league in passing. And he had 29 touchdowns. He's top 5 in touchdown passes, too. So that's the best example of showing why running quarterbacks are so much better and such a cheat code in fantasy. There will be some regression there in the sense that the Dolphins scored 50 more fantasy points their backfield than any team has in years. And Mostert or Achan will probably, you know, suffer some more injuries. But I've been targeting Achan. He seems to me like Gibbs at a round or two discount. And Tua is, no, he's not a quarterback target of mine for the reasons we just stated.
I love you comparing Gibbs to Achan because I totally see same type of player, right? It's a splash guy. It's not going to be a volume guy. But I see the similarities. And I think Achan makes more sense than Gibbs, although I may just go the boring route and take Mostert anyway. Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell is a wizard, man. 8.8 YPA from Nick Mullins last year, 8.4 YPA from Jaren Hall. And those guys really aren't bona fide NFL starters. Now, Sam Darnold's had a really checkered career. He didn't get to play last year in San Francisco. We know nothing really went right for him in New York. But now he's got Justin Jefferson. He's got Kevin O'Connell. Is there hope for Sam Darnold this year?
Yeah, I do like the system there. And boy, he's been saddled with bad opportunities in his career, Darnold. Although he did flash at the finals chance he got to start in Carolina, even ran in touchdowns for fantasy, but really like the system here. And Darnold's going to get the full blown opportunity with Jefferson and eventually Hawkinson and Addison. So Darnold has become someone of note in super flex leagues. But beyond that, no, just because quarterback is just so ridiculously deep.
I mentioned Hawkinson in passing earlier, going on the PUP list. His injury was right around Christmas last year. I think he's undraftable. This idea that we're going to hope for him to come back and hope for him to be productive. I think the first half of the year is probably a washout for him. And then maybe he's on snap counts Is he somebody you would prefer to stash, or are you going to stay away from Hockenson?
Stay away. I buried him. You better have an IR spot. He'll have, you know, a new quarterback throwing to him. It's not Noah Cousins, and he will not be 100% until 2025. So I'm with you here completely.
For sure. And you say you better have an IR spot. I was recently negotiating a trade with somebody who kept wanting to throw me Hockenson, said, hey, look, you have IR spots. I said, that's true. And in September, I'm going to have other hurt players who need those IR spots. And then eventually I'm going to have to cut somebody I don't want to cut. So I just rather, I mean, if you get him for absolute nothing, I get it. In this particular trade, I didn't want to throw value in on Hockenson for that reason. All right, this depresses me. I'm a Patriots fan. You can hold against me if you want. You can troll me on Twitter. You're welcome to do that. They're bad now. If you didn't like the dynasty, you're going to enjoy these Patriots. They have a team win over under total of 4.5. That's the lowest in the NFL by a full win. Maybe they have their quarterback of the future. I don't know when the future starts. I don't know if anything's draftable here. Drake May is going to be good someday, but I'm basically fading the Patriots. Yeah, very deep leagues, maybe Hunter Henry, but this is a fade team for me. I know Stevenson's a volume guy, but he's not going to have the right game scripts. Tell me something about the Patriots.
Drake May is a super sleeper for fantasy. I get he's in a tough situation here, but boy, he was in a tough situation in college at a turnstile offensive line, horrible supporting cast. Led college football in total offense in 2022. Drake May had nearly as many rushing yards per game when removing sacks as Anthony Richardson and more than Justin Fields in college. He rushed for more than 1,100 yards and 16 touchdowns over his two starting seasons. So that gets your attention in fantasy. He will sooner than later take over as starter. It looks like Brissett will be okay for week one. But yeah, the receivers and the offensive line are going to be a problem. But when Drake May gets named starter, he will be added in fantasy leagues, even non-superflex leagues, given that rushing potential.
And we're going to remember the class of 2024 and hopefully for good things to happen with Drake May. New Orleans Saints. I've been arguing with people all summer. Alvin Kamara, polarizing player, enters his age 29 season. Didn't have a 20-yard run last year. Only has 10 touchdowns in the last 28 games. They give other people the short touchdown. Taysom Hill has the same amount of carries inside the 10 as Kamara does the last couple of years. It's a stat from producer Colin. Maybe Kamara can be bailed out by the Derek Carr dump off train, but I think be a year early, not a year late. I think Kamara's an easy fade. What say you?
I'm with you. I've been avoiding him. The rushing stats have just dramatically declined. I mean, there's no Kendre Miller can't get back on the field. Maybe Jamal Williams is back into our fantasy lives this year because, yeah, Kamara, if you're in PPR, I get it. Like maybe Carr will just continue to check down to him, but I'd aim higher at that stage. And I'd go after James Conner over him. I think he's going to produce more and equally likely to miss a few games as Kamara. So their offensive line in New Orleans took a major step back this year as well. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm avoiding Kamara. That same number of carries as Taysom, I believe it's 30 over the last 2 years inside the 10. That is pretty wild. And Taysom Hill is going to get more action as a fullback and running back in 2024.
And quarterback and tight end eligible in Yahoo. I don't think you'd use him at quarterback unless you're screwed 1 week in Superflex, but you're going to want him as a fantasy tight end. So just be aware that you have options with Taysom Hill. Last team before we get to a break, the New York Giants. They have a splashy new toy in Malik Nabers. You know, there hasn't been a pass catcher with 800 yards or more in the Daniel Jones era. So I'm thinking the Nabers target total, they got to target him off the buses. Let's say the over-under is 142. I'm curious what you think of that. And does it matter that they're Daniel Jones targets?
Yes, it obviously hurts his fantasy value that the quarterback situation is questionable. But he was close to league's average success rate with Dable as his coach last year, small sample. I'm taking the over in targets, maybe closer to 160, and I'm ranking Nabers stupid high and drafting him aggressively, and will probably regret it immediately when I see Daniel Jones. That pick six was ugly, and everyone saw it. But I feel like that is going to suppress Nabers's previously maybe too much hype with all these preseason footage of him dominating the Lions in the practices. But now everyone is kind of with their bad taste in their mouth with Danny Dimes looking bad, and I feel like Nabers' ADP will kind of come back to earth a little, and I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm still all in on this rookie talent.
I've been scooping up Devin Singletary as a very boring running back three. He has the history with Dable, but it's a bad team. It's maybe a bad offensive line. Are you in or out on Singletary?
Totally fine with Singletary as a boring veteran there that's available late and could be very valuable as a full workload. But get Tyrone Tracy late too. He's some upside as a potential stash for insurance.
Scott Pianowski sitting in for Matt Harmon today. We're with Dalton Del Don, and we need a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit the final 8 teams remaining on our 32 for 32. We'll even get to a quick viewer mail question. Come right back. All right, Dalton, the New York Jets, what a roster. I think 2-53, it might be the best in football, but I don't know if their quarterback's any good. Aaron Rodgers, he's old. Maybe Tom Brady gave us the wrong signal that old quarterbacks aren't good things when they get to their 40s. But Aaron Rodgers loves his number one receivers, right? He threw 68 touchdowns to Davante Adams over the years, 65 to Jordy Nelson, 40-plus to Randall Cobb and James Jones. Garrett Wilson can do everything. He's smart. He can run every route in the book. What's going on with Garrett Wilson this year, and does Rodgers have enough to get Garrett Wilson to the moon?
I hope Rodgers does. I acknowledge the risks here, the age coming off the major injury. I moved Breece Hall to my number one fantasy back, number one fantasy player, and I have Garrett Wilson as my wide receiver 6, just because it's so hard to put him above those top 5 that are just so solidified. But I'm closer to moving Garrett Wilson into my top 5 than I am below A.J. Brown. I think this could result in 15 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers loves to throw around the goal line. That could hurt my Breece Hall. I mean, not that Breece Hall got any goal line looks last year anyway, but yeah, he might mess around and just throw a ton of 2-yard scores to Garrett Wilson this year. So love Garrett Wilson, love Breece Hall. But we need Aaron Rodgers to be functional. We don't need him to be his 4-time MVP winner, because almost certainly he'll be a dramatic upgrade over what they got from quarterback last year. But sure, there's a concern at this stage of his career what kind of player Aaron Rodgers is.
I do hope this offense is super concentrated with the touches and targets, because the defense is going to be good. And I'm afraid that offense might play at a very slow pace, so it's not going to be a volume offense. I can see them just being an efficient team that wins a lot of 24-10 types of games. Won't be shootout friendly, but I can't look away from the upside of Garrett Wilson. I was wrong last year because it ended on the first drive, 4 snaps in. I'm going to be wrong again this year. I think we're going to agree on this fade, but let's play it out. The Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts, exciting player. Jalen Hurts generally does not throw to his running backs, and Saquon Barkley, I'm going to check my notes here, he plays running back. This can't be good for Barkley. He's changing teams. There's some metrics that don't look good. I'm fading Barkley completely this year. Dalton, what do you say?
100% with you. Barkley's targets per game has dropped 5 straight seasons. Look at the underlying stats, the broken tackle percentage. Toward the bottom of the league last year, yes, his offensive line and his situation will improve, but Jalen Hurts will steal a lot of those rushing scores and will not throw him the football. So I believe he's Barkley's second to last in EPA per target the last 2 years, and now goes to a rushing quarterback who won't throw him the ball at all. So with you on Barkley, I'm reluctant to pay for his ADP.
As great as A.J. Brown is, and he is just a monster, I've found Devonta Smith's pocket of ADP value being really desirable this summer. I've been scooping up a lot of Devonta Smith. Do you have a quick take on Brown or Smith?
Kellen Moore, they're running more motion. I think Brown is going to be, even though I said I like Wilson more than him, I think Brown's a fine smash afterward. And then Devonta Smith, a fine target. He's going to be better than last year. And don't worry about Dotson taking any targets. I love Devonta Smith this year.
Speaking of offensive coordinator changes, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a new offensive coordinator. He's a guy who made our lives miserable. Arthur Smith drove the Falcons into a ditch. Now he's going to do something with the Steelers. We know he likes to run the ball. He's been the top 3 in rushing attempts. Arthur Smith offenses 3 of the last 4 years. So I say, how can George Pickens ever hit his ceiling with Arthur Smith here with a very unsettled quarterback room? How you playing Pickens in 24?
I've been aggressive. His ADP has dropped a bit, seemingly because of the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors, which would admittedly completely ruin Pickens' value. There's no way this quarterback situation can produce 2 viable fantasy receivers. But Pickens is... splits were just through the roof without Deontay Johnson the last few years. His target rate, his red zone target share, all so good. So I've been going with the upside there. But another guy like Neighbors, maybe I'll regret, you know, tying myself to an offense with Russell Wilson. And of course, all bets are off if Ayuk joins there. But I'm betting on the talent, and I think he'll be the only game in town in Pittsburgh. And I think he's going to put up a pretty big fantasy season.
Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, or is Arthur Smith going to like make Cordarrelle Patterson a thing? What do you think about the backs?
Yeah, I've been avoiding all of them, and it's a boring answer, but just take the back who falls the cheapest if you need one. Warren, I believe, looks ready to go week 1, but Cordarrelle Patterson is absolutely a threat to be involved in this offense on the ground game.
That would be the most Arthur Smith thing ever. I've seen the future, right? The Steelers score a touchdown early in week 1, and it's Cordarrelle Patterson from 5 years out or something. Everybody loses their mind. So Dalton, you're a big San Francisco 49ers fan. You know this team backwards and forwards. So I pretty much just want to toss it to you, but let's start with this. Brock Purdy, 7.0 touchdown rate last year. I hear everybody holding Jordan Love's decent touchdown rate against him. I don't hear a lot of people holding it against Brock Purdy. Maybe it's because it speaks to how much we love Shanahan, how much we love the pieces here. How much of that 7-0 can Brock Purdy keep? And is he a draft target for you this year?
Brock Purdy was a draft target if I missed out on the running quarterbacks. I'm all after Richardson, Kyler Murray, or Jaden Daniels. And then Purdy or Caleb Williams have been my fallback options. But what I would counter to you in that touchdown percentage is Jordan Love got 7.2 yards per attempt. Brock Purdy got 9.6, the best in NFL history. So one was incredibly efficient and one was not. So I would be more concerned about Love's regressing more than Purdy. That said, I'm absolutely going to lower him in my rankings if Ayuk does not sign soon or if he leaves. And Trent Williams is a big issue. His splits are just incredible, dramatic, off and on the field, Purdy's. So we need this Trent Williams situation and Brandon Ayuk situation resolved. If so, I have Purdy ranked above Burrow, Prescott, and Jordan Love in fantasy, and those guys all go ahead of him. But it requires Ayuk and Trent Williams to be his teammates.
Yeah, it's just weird to see the 49ers on every offensive line ranking sheet I've seen. They've expected to have a below average offensive line, and they better have Trent Williams on the field. This could all go kablooey. In the past week in Yahoo drafts, Deebo Samuel has crept ahead Brandon Ayuk. They're basically dog whistle players. One gets picked and the other one comes soon after. But right now, Deebo has become the target. I've kind of been scooping up cheap Deebo shares. They're relatively inexpensive. I mean, it's not like he's a giveaway, but I thought Ayuk was going to regress off last year's yards per catch, a good player, but I thought maybe he'd give a little bit of that back. I thought Deebo was the better value. Now I'm really not so sure. Give us a take on these receivers in San Francisco.
It's just frustrating that they can't get this resolved. If Ayuk gets traded or this lasts longer than, you know, end of the season, or maybe he gets injured because he's holding out all of summer, Deebo Samuel would be a top 10 fantasy wideout, or top 12, right around there. His target share has increased from 17.6% to 24.2% with Ayuk off the field since 2023. His yards per route run is like above 4, something like a video game. So Deebo Samuel would see a significant fantasy boost should Ayuk not return to San Francisco. And he's fine where he's going now anyway. Like, he's, that's the contingency upside. Where he's going in drafts now is just assuming that Ayuk returns and he's going to be the same producer he was in the past. And he showed up in really good shape, and Deebo looks like on a mission this year. And I mean, McCaffrey coming off 420 touches and banged up. No Ayuk. Kittle's, I love Kittle, but you know, he's prone to injury at this stage of his career. So Deebo, if he somehow were to stay healthy and be the only guy there, I mean, we could be looking at it just a truly sensational fantasy year.
I love you saying that, because he's probably my most rostered 49er player, Deebo Samuel. So let's do it for Deebo in 2024. Another wide receiver room we're curious about is in Seattle, where that coaching staff got a fresh coat of paint just when they need it. Ryan Grubb, great things at Washington. Now he's taking over the offense. And let's talk a little JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. There's at one point, people at Ohio State thought maybe he was the king of all the receivers. Maybe he was better than Olave, better than Wilson, better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Of course, wasn't really playing then. He was behind all those guys. He has a rookie year where he's hurt. The offensive line is hurt. Geno takes a step back. I think, I can't imagine every scout was wrong about JSN. I want to give him a pass for last year. He's been really affordable in leagues I've been in. Sometimes I get him, sometimes I don't. In a salary cap draft this week, I already had Cortland Sutton. I didn't need that slot to be filled, and I let JSN go to Jeff Erickson. I'm already kicking myself for that. I think he's just an obvious, not, he's not guaranteed to smash, but all the dots connect. The price is right. So I'm going to let Metcalf go, because I think JSN later is the better value. What do you think of the Seattle receiver room?
Love JSN this year. He burned me last year. I was pretty aggressive ranking and drafting him. But the further I got removed from it, I realized there were definitely some legit reasons why. I mean, he suffered that broken wrist entering the year. Shane Waldron's just horrible usage. His ADOT was just a total joke. Conversely, this year, Ryan Grubb running a ton of motion in the preseason. Seahawks finished with the fewest plays last year because of just crazy bad luck on third downs, both on offense and defense. They had the most plays in one of their preseason games. So the environment's going to be completely different this year. Lockett is dealing with an injury. I'm with you, avoiding Metcalf. JSN is a target of mine. I have him as a top 35 fantasy wideout. I might even move him to top 30. I love him, and I love Kenneth Walker. I'm in on the Seahawks. I think they win 9 or 10 games this year.
I even think in the Superflex crowd, Geno Smith could be a nice sleeper, because I'm just ready to follow Ryan Grubb into a burning building. And I think JSN is one of the go-get-em guys. The ADP has been wrong all summer, and I want you to take advantage of that. in the final couple of weeks of draft season. Tampa Bay, Rashad White last year, all volume, no efficiency. Canales is gone now. Bucky Irving's a rookie a lot of people like. Talk to me about this Tampa Bay backfield.
Yeah, White is a very good receiver, but he's one of the worst runners in the league, ranked dead last in rush yards over expectation, yards after contact per carry, and missed tackles forced per carry last year. Irving, meanwhile, totaled 1,458 yards and 12 touchdowns over 13 games as a 21-year-old last season at Oregon. He's impressed this preseason. So not only is he the RB2 for insurance, but I absolutely could see Bucky Irving cutting into White's rushing totals this year. And the loss of Canales, I expect that whole offense to take a step back as well.
I do too. Just Dave Canales is a big hit, and I'm not sure what to expect. Baker Mayfield, I'm just worried the pixie dust might blow away and maybe he's a below average quarterback again. I'm not drafting a lot of Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Tennessee Titans, they've been kind of a boring fantasy team for years. Last year's run, run, run. Could this year's Titans be pass, pass, pass? New coaching staff. Will Levis will at least let it rip and throw it downfield? There's some interesting receivers here. Have we finally seen a scheme approach change for the Titans? Are you drafting some of these guys in their passing game?
I've been a Tajay Spears over Pollard guy, but Pollard looks to be the goal line favorite there. I think they're going to rotate series. And as you said, I think they're going to pass a ton, playing from behind a lot. But that's going to be their goal entering games, having a high pass rate. And Spears is just the better receiver there. I like DeAndre Hopkins as an old, boring veteran who's going to out-target Ridley. He's expected to be ready week one. His underlying stats last year were pretty good still. And Ridley, meanwhile, you know, new system, kind of a disappointment last year. Give me Hopkins at a cheaper ADP than Ridley. That would be my main take with Tennessee.
So like Vanessa Williams, we have saved the best for last. The Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels. The reason why you shouldn't draft Anthony Richardson, because you can get so much of it with Jaden Daniels. Rounds later, good summer. And I know this middle season schedule is kind of messy, but a hat tip to 4x4's Jennifer Eakins, who does work for Yahoo as well. It's really cushy to start at Tampa Bay, the Giants, at Cincinnati, at Arizona. I think Jaden Daniels hits the ground running. I think he's going to be a monster with read option. He's going to have a ton of touchdown equity. And finally, we're going to see, much like DJ Moore finally had that season we were all waiting for last year, like we're finally going to see the Terry McLaurin season that we've been waiting for. I'm so much in on Daniels. I'm so in on McLaurin. And now you're compelled to agree with me. Go ahead.
I am in on all these guys, including Brian Robinson. And I think Zach Ertz is a super sleeper in fantasy, especially the first half of the year. And I'm ranking Jaden Daniels super aggressively, my quarterback 8. That said, I'm slightly worried about Kingsbury, who's called twice as many screen passes as any other team in the preseason, continue to line McLaurin up on one side of the field like he used to with D-Hop. So I worry lack of motion, and this is just going to be a donkey offense. But Jaden Daniels may be, you know, athletic enough to completely overcome that. And Kingsbury did have Murray be a top 10 fantasy QB at one point. So McLaurin getting all the targets. Ertz, a super sleeper no one wants to draft. Brian Robinson going to score some touchdowns. And Jaden Daniels, a top 10 fantasy QB. Let's hope Washington can overcome some shaky coaching situation there. And obviously offensive line as well.
Also, we have to ride with Cliff Kingsbury, which makes us a little bit nervous. But maybe he's a Josh McDaniels type. Maybe he's a better coordinator than head coach. Not that that's the highest bar in the world to clear, but I think you're going to be happy when you draft Jaden Daniels this year. Let's do it. So, Dalton, we did it. We got through all 32 teams, but there's more before we close up shop today. We're not doing a full mailbag, but we do have one question specifically directed at Dalton. I know you know this very well. Let's get to it from Shant via email. Hello, Yahoo Fantasy Forecast team. I'd like to play in a Survivor football pool. I know Dalton Del Don has entered one in past seasons because he's talked about it on your podcast. Where can I sign up for one, and what is the entry fee? Thank you. Again, Shant from email, reaching out. Dalton, he needs your help. What can you tell him?
You can sign up at Yahoo. I run my home league in Yahoo Survivor for many, many years. I'm in a different league with people that I know that don't even play fantasy football, all walks of life, that love Survivor because it's just one pick a week and you just got to pick one winner. You can run your own private league on Yahoo. You can do a side pot for any amount of money you want. I should mention that this is embarrassing, P&L, but I spent more than a few hours yesterday going over my plan on my high stakes league that Survivor that I also signed up for in Las Vegas with a $10+ million payout this year. And trying to go different paths for different entries, looking at the whole season. That one has some wrinkles with the Christmas slate and a Thanksgiving slate. But it'll look very foolish when I lose week one, because that certainly can happen in Survivor. But man, it's fun. And like I said, people who don't even play fantasy or follow sports closely, I know, you know, uncles and stuff sign up and play Survivor. It's just, you know, one team per week. So I highly recommend it. And Yahoo is absolutely a great platform for it.
Great platform for it. Remember, we also have a pro football pick'em game too, if you want to have a pick'em pool with your friends. And if you're thinking week one Survivor, and this spills over to fantasy, I've been scooping up the Bengals. I don't know if the Bengals defense is going to be anything great, but I've been scooping up the Bengals DST in week one because they play the Patriots. They're 9.5-point favorites. It's going to be the chalk, but it's the biggest favorite in week one. If you start to sketch out that week one, whether it's defensive special teams picks with Survivor picks, have you started to break down week one at all? And do you agree with me that the Bengals are a great one-week rental?
That's absolutely the way to go for this year. If you're punting defense, grab the Bengals, play them week one. Yep, that's it.
And so that was our mailbag question today. And speaking of the mailbag, do you already have some draft day regrets? Do you have a draft this weekend that's keeping you up at night? Yahoo Fantasy's panic meter is officially open. You can hear the sirens. Remember, the special preseason edition of Panic Meter tomorrow with Sal Vitri and Matt Harmon. Be sure to submit your questions via voice memo or video to the fantasy mailbag at yahoosports.com. And their goal is to get to as many questions as possible. So we'd love to hear from you. Let's help you out. Let's get you those sleep at night Z's that you're missing out. Nobody wants to be stressed with fantasy football. You want to have fun. Sal and Matt are going to help you tomorrow. Did you know week one of the NFL season is less than 2 weeks away? And as you all know from the countless live reads, we've got a little thing going with NBC Sports this year. If you sign up for Fantasy League at Yahoo, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million if any of the players you start score a touchdown in the week one games on NBC and Peacock. There's three of them. There's three great games, six great offenses. And you'll earn bonus entries into the sweepstakes if any of the players from those six teams score touchdowns, the NBC and Peacock games. The deadline is September 5th. We want to make you rich. Sign up, draft, score, win. Thank us later. That's going to do it for us today. I thank Dalton Del Don for doing a great job, and producer Colin keeping us on the air, giving us nuggets and making us sound good. I'm Scott Pianowski for Thursday. Matt Harmon back in the saddle. We continue cram week. Sal Vitri is going to be here spewing all sorts of knowledge, facts, hot takes, targets, all that good stuff that you get from Sal and Matt. The panic meter's coming in. We need your submissions. Until then, for Dalton and Colin, I'm Scott. We are out.